America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with the National Basketball Association playoffs. The NBA's recently crowned most valuable player, Cameroonian big man Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, scored a team-high 33 points Tuesday night to help lead his team to a 115-103 road victory over the Boston Celtics. Philadelphia now leads the best of seven playoff series, 3-2. Talk to us about your game, MVP Embiid.
It was an okay game. I think I can be, way better. I thought defensively as a team, we did a pretty good job.
Joel Embiid and the 76ers will now try to close out the Celtics on Thursday night in Philadelphia. A win would put the 76ers in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2001. In the Western Conference Tuesday night, the Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Phoenix Suns 118-102. And now lead that playoff series 3-2. Denver's two-time league MVP, Serbian big man Nikola Jokic, tallied a triple-double, 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. Jokic says if his team duplicates its Game 5 effort in Game 6, the Nuggets will be in fine shape.
If we play the way how we play today, we're going to have opportunity, we're going to have a chance, just to be special in the road, just to have an opportunity to win a game. I think that's a lot against a really, really good team.
Meanwhile, the NBA has announced its all-defensive team. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
Defensive Player of the Year Jaren Jackson Jr. of Memphis and Milwaukee's Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez headline the NBA's all-defensive team. Also voted to the first team Tuesday were Cleveland forward Evan Mobley and Chicago guard Alex Caruso. Jackson, the NBA leader with 3 blocked shots per game, received 96 of 100 first-team votes and finished with 195 points for his second all-defensive team selection. Holiday was just behind him with 94 first-team votes and 192 points. Lopez totaled 85 first-team votes. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Joining me now for our NBA playoffs chat is my VOA colleague, Muck Bill Yabarrow. Sporty greetings, Muck Bill.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny.
Muck Bill, big game later Wednesday night in San Francisco, where the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors will try to stave off elimination. The Los Angeles Lakers lead the Warriors 3-1. Muck Bill, does it surprise you that LeBron and the Lakers are leading this series?
Honestly, I feel like certain players and certain teams, they might have your card in their respective season. And I think the Lakers had beaten the Warriors 3 times this season. So their record regular season was 3-1. Just like this series.
Okay.
But
okay.
You know what they say, regular season is not necessarily indicative of what happens in the playoffs, but the Lakers have been able to get it done.
Helping the Lakers get it done, at least in game 4, were some role players. Talk about them, Muck Bill.
I definitely feel like you have certain players, especially at home, right, that role players that do really well, because when you don't have, you know, the booing fans and the, you know, the scariness of being in a different arena, it's usually only all-stars that perform well even on the road, whereas role players tend to feel more comfortable at home when their home crowd is cheering them on. And we've seen that from Austin Reeves putting up 21 points. Dennis Schroeder had a solid 10, but the biggest unsung hero is a man by the name of Lonnie Walker IV.
You know, I'm a role player at the end of the day, and I got to do what I got to do for my team to win. All the little things, playing great defense, rebounding, taking charges, whatever it may be. So understanding my role, most importantly, but, you know, understanding my value and who I am right now and what I'm yet to become.
The young man is super talented, and he was just ready whenever they call him. Sometimes, you know, during the season, he had he was in a bit of their rotations due to injuries, and Coach Darwin Ham trying to figure out what his situation was going to be like. He's a very talented young player, two-way guard. He can score the ball. He can play defense, but he just stayed ready. Sometimes he, you know, quote-unquote, he was being given some of those garbage minutes, right, in some of the games, in the blowout game in Game 3, but he still made use of it, made sure that the Golden State bench team were not able to make up on that 30-point margin. So Lonnie Walker came out big in the fourth quarter for the Lakers.
Muckbill, it seems like LeBron James is showing some trust towards Lonnie Walker and some of these other Lakers role players.
I think this is a different LeBron James than we've seen, honestly speaking, in any of the past couple of playoff experiences or that he's had. If you really look at LeBron's older teams, the play would have to go through LeBron, right? LeBron plays a point forward type of basketball. This is the first time in a long time where we've seen him playing off the ball a lot. And that's given him the ability to trust in his teammates, as we've mentioned, find his spots, go to his corners, let the point guards like a Dennis Schroeder or a D'Angelo Russell, who's also been playing phenomenally, find him in his respective spots and score. And then also he's been able to play defense because he's been able to help grab rebounds. So he's been doing a lot of the other things. And it's still LeBron James, so he's going to require one or two men to try to double him, to try to make sure to get the ball out of his hand, and he's finding the open men. Austin Reeves in the corner for corner threes to get him going, because he was having a tough shooting night as well early on. But once he got those open looks, he was able to get a couple nice easy shots down.
What about the Warriors, Muckbill? They're down 3-1. Can they win 3 games in a row and advance to the Western Conference Finals?
As we've seen, 3-1 series are very, very difficult to overcome. If there was a team that would be able to get it done, it probably would be the Warriors, you know, having been on the positive end of finishing off a 3-1 series. I remember in the year that they actually lost to LeBron and them, they were down 3-1 to the Thunder.
Okay.
And then they were able to beat them and come back from 3-1. So they've done it before, but then they've also been on the other end as well. So it'll be interesting to see. You can never really count out the defending champions. To me, the biggest challenge will be the mental toll of getting over the fact that Steph Curry has a triple-double, a phenomenal triple-double, where he's doing every and anything to possibly will his team to win and still losing. How do you get over a game where you've played that well? The Warriors played amazing in the screen and roll a lot. We're getting a lot of points in the paint. We're making it very difficult for AD to have to commit, and still you lose. So how do you come back from that? Coach Kerr has a difficult and daunting task. I don't envy that position right now.
Muckbill, if you had to grade Steph and LeBron for their performances through 4 games, about equal, or who would you have on top?
Even as a LeBron fan, I'd still have to give it to Curry, just because he's had a heavier load, right? Klay Thompson has had a difficult series. So they haven't really had that consistent number two to be able to get things done for Steph. So this reminds me of like LeBron when LeBron was with the Cavs, where he had to do all the work and all the heavy lifting in order to get the rest of the guys to come through. So Steph has been playing extremely well, but it's difficult when you have a team with a LeBron and an AD but with a cast that can also do what they're doing. So, man, this is a difficult team to beat.
Also Wednesday night, Muck Bill, the Miami Heat will try to close out their series against the New York Knicks. The Heat lead the Knicks 3-1 heading into Game 5 at Madison Square Garden in New York. The Heat was seeded 8th going into this series, Muck Bill, and the Knicks seeded 5th. Are you surprised Miami is in front?
Honestly, I don't think so. When I seen what Miami was able to do against the Milwaukee Bucks, granted, Giannis was injured for a big portion of the series, but nonetheless, even without Giannis, that team is a very, very good team. It's very complete. It has, you know, the likes of quality all-stars like Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, and just, you know, a collective team effort that even without Giannis poses a threat against any team in the league. For them to be able to come out and beat that team really showed me the will and how this team rallies behind Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Buckets. He's the type of player that really comes alive in the nighttime. You know, he comes alive in the playoffs. You know, he kind of gets, I wouldn't say coasts during the regular season, but he has a different gear that he puts it on when he comes into the playoffs. And we're really seeing that right now.
We always got a shot to win whenever we're guarding, and we're just playing hard and playing together. You know, this game is a game of runs for both sides. But all in all, if we talk through everything, you know, and we're having fun more than anything, I think it's going to end well for us.
I think Miami turns into a completely different team in the playoffs. They do everything that they do decently, they just do it extremely well. They take care of the ball in difficult positions, but everyone is doing everything. Like, they make sure that they have each other's backs, one-on-ones. There'll be a lot of help defenses, making sure to get offensive rebounds, making it very difficult for the offensive players on the Knicks, like the Julius Randles or the Jalen Brunsons, who you're expecting to have phenomenal games. You know, when you got great players like that, it's difficult to stop them, but if you can just try to like limit them to one possession and not give them offensive rebounds, it's a great feat for the entire team. It gets everybody excited.
Finally, Muck Bill, both the Heat and the Lakers entered the playoffs after competing in the NBA's play-in tournament for lower-seeded teams. Did that competition help them?
I think it does, because you basically are, in essence, warming up for the playoffs. So you're in this do-or-die type of situations. For Miami, for instance, with the Lakers, they had a potential to play twice. But just knowing that, you know, hey, if I play in this game and we do well, it's just one game at a time. And I think you take that mentality and don't look too far ahead. Sometimes, you know, once the playoffs start, right, like after the play-in, you have 16 games to win. It's like, okay, am I really thinking about 16 and then am I counting down from 16, or am I just going up from one? I think if you just look at it one game at a time, that, you know, allows you to be able to be present in the moment and not take it for granted. If both of these teams look at it and they start looking towards, hey, Miami and the Lakers had that, you know, showdown in the bubble. So these are two, you know, the runner-up in the championships for the bubble season. If they say, hey, we potentially might be able to, you know, redeem ourselves from the bubble, or the Lakers can say we can run it back again, we might see Miami again. You're thinking too far, you could lose this series. You know, you got to make sure you stay present and try to come in with that level of desperation, as the Knicks and the Warriors both will be extremely desperate in Game 5.
Thanks, Muck Bill. That's my VOA colleague, Muck Bill Yarborough, speaking with me at our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington, D.C.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes, and check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. In European club football, Real Madrid and visiting Manchester City drew 1-1 Tuesday in the first leg of their UEFA Champions League semifinal. The Brazilian Vinicius Jr. and the Belgian Kevin De Bruyne scored long-range strikes, and that left things wide open going into next week's rematch in England. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
It was a great game of football when you have a game involving the two current champions of their respective leagues. You expect nothing short of fireworks, and that was what we had. Aside from the fact that both Real Madrid and Manchester City won their respective leagues last season, we also boosted off some of the best footballing talents in the world at the moment. And when you see them going toe-to-toe against one another, you expect a very, very electric game. And I think that was what we got. Manchester City had the better of the opening in the first 20 to 25 minutes of the first half. But the moment Real Madrid seized the game from them, they got a deserved goal. And they also started the second half the brighter, until that little moment of brilliance, spiced by the moment of controversy, led into Kevin De Bruyne scoring another spectacular goal. Two spectacular goals were scored on the night. Both goalkeepers, Edison for Manchester City and Thibaut Courtois for Real Madrid, had things to do as well with some fantastic saves. The defenders were on their toes, were on red alert all through the 90 minutes, and the attackers also gave fans lots of entertainment. It was indeed a very great game of football. And this is one of the things that makes the UEFA Champions League to grow in leaps and bounds every blessed year.
Some football analysts have tagged the clash between Real Madrid and Man City as the final of this year's UEFA Champions League. Did the game live up to expectations?
Yes, the game absolutely lived up to its pre-game hype, of course. We had goals, we had saves, we had tricks, we had skills, we had pace, we had electricity of football, all on parade. So every condiment you need in a football game was absolutely present in the game. And the Estadio Santiago Bernabéu in Spain once again lived to its billing of having another iconic football match played inside it. The fans loved every bit of it. Not only those stadiums, across the globe, in the Americans, you know, the Africans, the Asians, everywhere, the whole world was buzzing for that game of football. From Vinicius Jr. to Kevin De Bruyne to Luka Modric and to Ilkay Gundogan, to the defenders, to the goalkeepers, everyone, even the coaches on the touchline, Pep Guardiola for Manchester City and the Don Carlo Ancelotti for Real Madrid, they all put up a spectacle which was expected of them. You know, Real Madrid have become the perennial champions of the Champions League. They've won it at least 14 times and they know how to really win it. And this is what they're showing year after year. For Manchester City, it seems they are destined to win it. They seem to have put everything right all through the campaign. But to win it, they have to be the best. So if they say there's a final before the final, I think the first leg has absolutely lived up to that.
Fisayo, African players were not in action in the encounter between Real Madrid and Man City. Do you see the possibility of Riyad Mahrez of Algeria making an appearance for Man City in the second leg?
Yeah, there is a strong possibility of the Algerian superstar Riyad Mahrez making an appearance in the second leg game at the Etihad Stadium next week. Why? Because many people think that
Bernardo Silva, the Portuguese that played in this position on Tuesday night, did not really do justice to really going at the Real Madrid left-back Eduardo Camavinga. Many felt the directness of players like Mahrez or Phil Foden could have posed a different type of questions to the Real Madrid rear guard. And of course, with City playing at home in the return leg, I'm sure Pep Guardiola would want to attack a little more. And if you want to attack more, I think you have to call on a player like Riyad Mahrez, who has the experience and, of course, has the quality to do it in games of that magnitude, because the second leg will now going to be down to the very, very little details. You are playing a game that has 22 top quality players on the pitch, those that are able to seize the very, very little lax moments in both sides. And these are some of the things that we know Mahrez is capable of exploring. And definitely Pep Guardiola will be looking at perhaps giving the Algerian superstar some time and, of course, some opportunity to really turn the tie in his favour when Manchester City play at home in the return leg. By and large, it's going to be another game that no one could easily predict where it will fall to at the end of the day. But at that point, Mahrez and all other top City stars, and even some of them that did not come to the party on Tuesday night, like Erling Haaland, will be needed to be at the peak of their powers.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One of the fastest growing sports among women in East Africa is cricket. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinge tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
Janet Mbabazi, the female cricketer. Yes. A very good shot there from Gizelle. Gives herself enough room.
Again, in the air.
Victoria Pearls, the Uganda women national cricket team, engaged the United Arab Emirates counterparts in a cricket game in the regional tournament Victoria Series at Rugogo Cricket Oval in Kampala. The game ended with the eventual tournament winners, Uganda Pearls, winning by 6 wickets after a series of victories against neighbors Tanzania and Rwanda and a wastaway match against Kenya. Uganda team captain Konse Aweko says she's delighted her team won the tournament. She says tournaments like this help players to become much better.
I believe we've learned a lot. Cricket itself in Uganda has developed, and many children are going to school because of cricket. They're giving bursaries to school children. People are getting some people like us, we get the exposure to travel and represent our country, which is an honor to any other person out there. Any other person in the sports fraternity would love to be on that team, to wear your national jersey, wear that bird, the Ugandan bird on your chest to go and represent your country. So it has been quite a nice journey. We've experienced a lot of travels. We have traveled around Africa, around out of Africa, Asia. I've been to Europe just because of cricket.
Joining the game some 13 years back, Aweko says she's grateful to have found some senior women cricket players who guided her through the game. Uganda Pearls first played the international match less than 20 years ago against neighbors Kenya in 2006 and was granted Women 2020 series by the International Cricket Association in 2018. Aweko says she's glad the game of cricket among women is on steady growth in the country. She says she's pleased that the game of cricket offers same opportunities just like for their male counterparts.
We play the same tournaments. There is a girls' schools week, there is a boys' schools week. They give them equipment, they give us equipment. The same coaches are given in different schools. When it comes to officials, they give the same officials. Like, it's more of equality. When the men have contracts, even us women, we have contracts. So I don't think that there is a lot of challenge that can affect a girl child in cricket, more or less in Uganda here, because I believe everything they do is about equality.
One member of the Kenya Cricket Board tells us how she started the game of cricket as a young girl.
My name is Berry Loyugi. I'm an ex-Kenya Cricket International and now a Cricket Kenya board member. I began playing cricket in 2003 while still in high school. When we began playing cricket, first of all, as women, we could not play hardball. And being in high school also, we could not play hardball cricket. So we began with softball cricket. For about 3, 4, 5 years, that's when I began playing hardball. So I can say right now the game has advanced away from that. You find kids in primary school and high school starting cricket with hardball, and that helps them develop their game really fast. So for us, it was a slow incline to be inducted into the hardball game.
Oyoge went on to play 13 years for her national team. Sarah Uwela plays for the Rwanda national cricket team, where has been playing cricket for 10 years. She says it was actually easy for her mastering the game.
Cricket is a nice sport. It's somehow addictive, and it has many chances. I mean, because the first year that I represented my country is the same year that I started playing. So it has many chances, and it's a sport that is growing very fast in the country.
She's grateful for the support she gets from her fans, in particular, her number one fans, her family.
They also didn't know the sport before I started playing it, but they ended up liking it because they support me, and they see that it gave me some discipline. Like when you're a professional player, a professional sports, you gain some discipline with the sport and also out of the sport.
Rwanda women national cricket team first played against Uganda in 2007. The country annually hosts the T20 series Kwibuka tournament, bringing members from East Africa, Namibia and Nigeria. It is played in remembrance of the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. Uwera is grateful she's represented her country both regional and international meets, such as the Nigerian Invitation in 2019, where Rwanda played against host Nigeria in Abuja, losing by 9 runs. Leonard Nambulo has been the head coach for the Rwanda national women cricket team since 2021. Nambulo says he's pleased with the performance of his girls in the just concluded Victoria Series tournament.
With the performance that this team is putting up in the past 2 years, it shows that there is something right that is being done to make sure that the team is competitive enough to win important games, and also the structures that we did put in place in terms of selecting the good players that we've got. I think those are some of the things that we've done well. I mean, look, we're beating a team that are highly ranked above you, team like Kenya, team like Tanzania in this tournament. I think that is something that is good for us, and it's something that even motivates the ladies as well to know that they are no longer a small team again anymore in terms of the game of cricket, which means anytime from now we can even beat any team that can come out. Even if you look at the performance that we've showed against Uganda, even against UAE, it shows that now whatever that we are doing, we are closing the gap between the bigger teams and us.
Rwanda defeated Kenya and Tanzania and put up a satisfactory performance against host Uganda and UAE to finish respective fourth position, the same 4 points as UAE and Tanzania, and just one position above Kenya. Namburo says parents should support their daughters just like they do for their sons to play the game of cricket. He says women in South Africa have the ability to dominate the sport globally. Michael Grace Ndiko, who coaches both men and women cricket in East Africa, agrees.
With women's cricket, you have to be a little bit more considerate. You have to know what each individual player desires or wants to have. Not that you become personal, but you make sure that you are taking care of each individual's concerns and interests. Unlike the men's game, where you tend to just group them up and it's okay with them. So that's a major challenge, first and foremost. So it means you have to improve your interpersonal skills between yourself and the entire players and the, management team. You have to make sure that you take care of that. The girls are really playing some very good cricket, especially evidenced with this most recent tournament. It has been a very wonderful exhibition of cricket, a show of talent and commitment, discipline, showing that really cricket as a sport in East Africa, especially for women, has grown in leaps and bounds.
This is Zakayo, plays with the Tanzania women team.
You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Oh,
wraps up the May 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the sunny side of sports.